Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Four-way talks are due to take place tomorrow in Geneva between diplomats from Russia, the EU, the US and Ukraine. But in advance of that, positions are hardening and facts are changing on the ground. In Brussels, the NATO Secretary General promised more planes in the air, more ships on the water and more readiness on the land. In a telephone conversation with Angela Merkel yesterday, Vladimir Putin warned that Ukraine was on the verge of civil war. So are we looking at a popular uprising sponsored by Russia or orchestrated annexation masterminded by Putin? Earlier I spoke to The Guardian's Luke Harding, who, when I called, was inside the mayor's office in Donetsk, which had just been overtaken by a group of Russian separatists armed with hunting rifles.
Well, a whole bunch of guys, they said they're from a kind of local sporting organisation called a Plot, and they've got a kind of motley collection of uniforms. Most of them are in masks. I've just talked to a guy who's got an American-made Magnum hunting rifle. He's standing in the reception foyer. It's a slightly strange scene. They seized the building earlier on today, right in the centre of Donetsk, and it looks like they're staying here for now.
How resolute are they?
Well, they're just kind of simple guys, and what's a mystery to me is kind of why they decided to seize the building today. I mean, these ones are clearly local, but I spent most of the day in Slaviansk, in the neighbouring town of Kramatorsk, and the troops there who captured five armoured personnel carriers and a small tank earlier on this morning in Kramatorsk. They're clearly very professional. They look like professional soldiers. I talked to one who said that he was Russian from Simferopol, which is obviously in Crimea now. I mean, it was a slightly confused conversation, but it's clear that what's happening now, which is really an uprising in the whole east of the country, is to some degree being coordinated, I suspect, by Moscow. But, you know, there's a tremendous amount of local support too for these guys, and really on the ground here you have the sense that the whole region is slipping out of control of the pro-Western government in Kiev, which seems helpless to do anything about this situation.
There are suggestions that they are getting increasingly better armed the longer that they are in place. Do you see evidence of that?
Well, I'm standing next to a guy with a big hunting gun and someone else with a Kalashnikovs, you know, just around the corner. I mean, they clearly do have arms. The question is, where did they get them from? Now, I mean, obviously, there are a lot of people here who work with the police and with the security forces who are sympathetic to these kind of pro-Russian forces. But I don't know. It's a mystery where they got their weapons from and who exactly they are. It's clear that Kiev is really not got a grip on the situation at all. It's just kind of watching it helplessly from the sidelines.
Yeah, tell me what evidence you are seeing of the Ukrainian counteroffensive.
Well, this morning we heard there was some Ukrainian kind of tanks, basically in Kramatorsk, or Ukrainian armored personnel carriers. By the time I got there, there were a whole bunch of separatists sitting on the roof of the tanks with a Russian tricolour. With the masks in fatigues, weapons, including a rocket launcher. And they then went for a kind of extraordinary joyride, essentially through Kramatorsk and then to Slaviansk, which was about 15 kilometres down the road. So I wasn't there at the beginning, so I didn't see the kind of takeover. But it seems to me the Ukrainian army has got no stomach for a fight. And the problem is huge chunks of the local population support the separatists. They want a referendum on autonomy from the rest of Ukraine, and obviously that suits Russia's interests. And things here are moving at a very fast speed.
We have seen quite a deal of YouTube footage of emotional appeals being made from Russian separatists to Ukrainian soldiers. Clearly, from what you're saying, the loyalty of these soldiers cannot be counted on by Kiev.
Well, it's not really a question of loyalty. It's a question of who are they supposed to fight against. I mean, there's a huge civilian population here who've been surrounding these sort of airport bases and building their own pickets. I mean, you can't really fight them. So who do you fight? I mean, it's who is the enemy. It's not entirely clear. I mean, obviously the Russian forces are the enemy, but they're so embedded with the civilian population, and there are plenty of local guys who support them who also have weapons, that it's just impossibly kind of confused. So plus the Ukrainian army, I haven't actually met them. I've been here for 3-4 days. I haven't actually managed to see a single Ukrainian soldier. I mean, that they are demoralized, and the situation seems pretty hopeless, I think.
Overall, your sense of it then is that regardless of what diplomatic efforts are being made or what may or may not be discussed at this four-way conference in Geneva tomorrow, that this region, this part of eastern Ukraine, the Donetsk region, is to all intents and purposes lost to Kiev.
That's correct, and Putin knows that. So, to be honest, tomorrow's meeting in Geneva is a waste of time, because the Kremlin is deciding what happens on the ground, the tempo at which events move, and it's correctly calculated that this sort of secessionist impulse is backed by certainly not everybody, but enough people to have kind of legitimacy on the ground here. So the Americans, the European community, Britain, Ireland are rather pathetic bystanders in this drama, which is unfolding as we speak.
Luke Harding of The Guardian speaking to me earlier on from inside the now occupied, Russian separatist occupied mayor's office in Donetsk.